Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to all of my brothers and sisters, and greetings, and welcome to Manna from Heaven. That beautiful hymn entitled Near to the Heart of God is my prayer for us today, that we would draw closer to the Lord, closer to Him in fellowship, closer to Him in prayer, closer to Him in His expectations of how His people should live holy lives. I'm praying that we would just obey the Lord and obey His word and draw near to Him. James says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's what James says in his fourth chapter, eighth verse. So let us draw nigh to God. Let us draw nigh with pure hearts. Let us confess our sins. Let us be transparent with the Lord. You know, God knows everything. You can't hide a thing from the Lord. He's all-knowing. And so drawing near to the heart of God. And that's what we plan to do tonight, starting at 7 p.m. We have prayer night. Tonight is prayer, prayer, prayer. course, we start that off with our prayer institute at 7 p.m. I want to encourage you to get on the line by 6:55. There'll be some music waiting for you. And at 7 p.m., we will start the Bible Institute with our dear sister Linda Hart, who is our most capable instructor. And then at 7:30, we move right into praying. We have so many things to pray for. And thank God the prayer line is growing. People are tuning in from all over the country, believe it or not. And we can, listen, I can prove that to you. I could show you where the calls are coming from, and they're coming from Illinois, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, and New York City. In fact, we have people calling in from Albany, New York. So they're calling in from all over. And the prayer line is going to grow because Grace Church is leading the charge. God said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. That's what he called his house a house of prayer. And that's what we intend to do. We intend to be old school. We intend to be Bible. That's it. We are a Bible-believing, Bible-applying, Bible-practicing church. And we just want to follow the word of God, and we want to be obedient to the word of God. So join us tonight at 7 p.m., 6:55. Get on 5 minutes early. This way you don't miss anything. And at 7 o'clock, we start with Bible Institute. That goes for a half hour. A half hour of instruction. Bring your Bibles. Bring your George Mueller books. And also bring to write a composition notebook to take notes. It's going to be a blessing tonight as we talk about the seven churches of Revelation and George Mueller. And then after that, we have just a group of people just eager to call upon the name of God, to see God bring results in St. Johnsville and all around that area. So let's open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Our theme for this week is God will deliver us in 2022. God will deliver us. We are in the year 2022. And we need for God to come and save us. Some of us need saving. Some of us have our backs against the wall. Some of us, life is, you know, putting the squeeze on us. Some of us are being ferociously attacked. And for that, we need God to show up and deliver us. The scripture upon which we are basing this week's study is 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. David said, moreover, and he's speaking to Saul, the Lord that delivered me, and there's that word, delivered, and we're praying that God will deliver us in 2022, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks yet again, and we praise you for providing this table upon which all your children can come and feed from the heavenly manna from above. God, let your word minister to us today. Let it encourage us. Let it give us something to think about as we move forward in this month of February, as we go deeper into the year. Let us remember that you are there to deliver us. Bless us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, we looked at an overview of the book of 1 Samuel, and we said that the book of 1 Samuel has four main characters, that being Eli, number one, Samuel, number two, Saul, number three, and David, number four. We said that Eli and Samuel were both priests and judges, and that Saul and David were God's anointed king. So was Eli a legitimate leader? Yes. Was Samuel a legitimate leader? Yes. Was Saul? Yes. Was David? Yes. We have four legitimate leaders picked by the Lord. However, two out of the four failed, and two out of the four succeeded. And that is the whole, that's the whole teaching of 1 Samuel. Those who disobey the Lord will fail, and those who obey the Lord will succeed. It's just that simple. So no matter what office you hold, whether deacon or trustee or pastor or church secretary, whatever, missionary, preacher, evangelist, deaconess, whatever role you hold, if you want to succeed in the things of God, you have to obey him. And the key text, the text that just jumps out throughout the whole book is this, and it comes from the mouth of the prophet Samuel, who said to Saul, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." A lot of people think that they can please God by giving big offerings and big tithes and yet still live a nasty and unholy life. That's not Bible. If you gave not a red cent, but you obeyed the Lord, he would be pleased with you. And if you gave lots of money and yet were a disgrace to the gospel and brought shame to the name of Jesus by calling yourself a Christian and yet living an unholy life, even though you give a lot of money to the church, you would not be pleasing to the Lord. For obedience is better than sacrifice, or better than any offering we could give to God. You can't bribe God with money. You can only please God by obeying him and his commandments. And Jesus said, "In this the world will know that you're my disciples, in that you love one another and in that you keep my commandments." So again, this book, 1 Samuel, is a portrait of leaders who fail and leaders who succeed. And why do they fail and succeed? Even though they were all picked by God, God picked them all. You can't tell me that God didn't pick Eli, or that Eli was illegitimate and that Saul was an illegitimate leader. No, these are all legitimate leaders. But some fail and some succeed because some choose to disobey God and some just make up their mind to obey God. And that's it. That's the whole story. That's what all 31 chapters is about. Okay, so now let's move on to page number 2 of our outline. And let's talk about being delivered. We need for God to deliver us. So I want to take you to 1 Samuel 17. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17. And as you know, David arrives into the camp of Israel. It's a military camp. And they are posted on one side of the ridge, one side of the hill, and the Philistines are posted on the other side opposite each other. The valley, the low ground, if you will, is where the match, the battle, is going to take place. So both armies have the high ground. And the middle ground is where the battle is to take place, but not by the armies, but by a champion represented by each army. A champion representing each of the armies. So David comes on the scene after 40 days of Goliath's taunting of God, and no one on God's side responding to Goliath's challenge. And this is where we pick it up in 1 Samuel 17:33. "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.' And David replied and said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered the lamb out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by the beard and I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistines shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And so David goes on to say, and David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the mouth, out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with thee. So today I want to talk to you about surprise attacks. Surprise attacks. You know, in life, you can wake up one day and everything be perfect. Everything is perfect that morning. And by the afternoon, an attack can be knocking on your door. The attacks of life surprising to us, but not to our omniscient God. Because we are finite, and we have limited abilities to know, we get surprised by things that come our way. No doubt David was out tending his father's sheep one day, and David never thought in his wildest dreams that a lion was going to show up and grab one of his lambs and start to run off with it. David, you know, you get up in the morning, you go to the sheep cote, you look at the sheep, you number them, you count them, you say, okay, boys, let's go. Okay, boys and gals, let's go. And the shepherd calls the sheep by name, and they start coming out one by one, and you head out for pasture. And you have your little lunchbox with you. You have your sandwiches with you. You have your drinks with you. And you're planning on just finding a nice place for the sheep to feed, where they can graze. And you're looking for a place where they can graze and a place that has a tree where you can sit under and take out your flute or take out your harmonica, and you can start playing a few tunes while you watch the sheep under the shade. It's just a perfect day, beautiful out, sunny out. There's not a care in the world. You are so happy playing your harmonica, eating your sandwiches, drinking your drink of preference. And out of nowhere comes a young lion and grabs one of your lambs, one of your babies, one of the babies of your flock, grabs it with its mouth and starts into the brush. That's what happened to David one day. A surprise attack. Again, because we're finite, things catch us by surprise. But they never catch God by surprise. He and he alone is all-knowing. You see, my brothers and sisters, the lesson of this week is God will deliver us. Not that we will deliver ourselves. No, it is God, the all-knowing God, who knows what's coming when you don't know what's coming. He will deliver us. I've had so many surprise attacks in my life, so many. You know, there are surprise attacks and then there are surprise attacks. I've had a few surprise attacks in my life that happened many years ago. I'm still dazed. I'm still dumbfounded by those surprise attacks. I'm still like in shock years later. But none of that caught my Heavenly Father by surprise. Yes, life can be cruel, even to Christians. When the enemy comes knocking on your door on that given day, and you are confronted with your worst nightmare, God is there with you and with me. So, here are some questions to ponder. What enemy will show up today, next week, or next month? And the answer is, you and I don't know. Will it be a lion this week? Or will the lion show up next week? Or will he show up next month? Or will it be the giant that will show up? Or will it be the bear? What enemy will show up today, next week, next month? We don't know. Attacks come surprisingly, unexpectedly, and also from sources that we never imagined. They just come. The second question is, will this enemy come after me? You know, sometimes when trouble comes knocking on your door, it just comes after you. Maybe trouble's coming after your entire family. Or maybe trouble is coming after the church. You know, in this chapter, in 1 Samuel 17, this whole chapter is about trouble coming to the church. It wasn't trouble coming after Saul, per se, or trouble coming after King Saul's royal family. No. The Philistines posed the challenge. If our champion defeats your champion, you become our slaves. You become our enslaved people. The Philistines were coming for God's church, all of God's church. You see, who is the enemy coming after? Is he coming after you? Or is he coming after your family? Or is he coming after your bigger family? Our bigger family is the church. You're all my brothers and sisters. Now, of course, I have a wife and I have children in this house. Is the enemy coming after those who live at 4 Lamberson Street? Or is the enemy coming after those who congregate at 20 Center Street? Who is the enemy coming after? So what enemy will show up? Is it the lion with his predatorial tendencies, or is it the bear with his predator? Because listen, the lion and the bear, of course, they all want the same thing. They want the demise of the thing they're attacking, but they have different tendencies. They have different skills. They have different strengths. They have different body sizes. They're all different. The paw of the bear and the paw of the lion are different. The hand of the giant is different from the paw of the bear and the lion. See, they're different, my brothers and sisters. What enemy with so-called skills and weapons and modus operandi is coming after you today, next week, or next month? Is this enemy coming simply after you? Is he coming to take you out? Is he out to destroy your family, your fellowship, your harmony in your home? Or is he coming to divide and conquer Grace Church? Now, since the enemy never telegraphs his attacks, he never sends you an email saying, well, listen, you at Grace Church over there, be ready because I'm coming to attack today. The enemy never shows his hand, never shows his paw. Again, these are surprise attacks. So, since they are surprise attacks, we must be like the fire department. Always ready. Oh, listen, when that bell rings in the firehouse, you have to be ready to put on your boots and put on your fire jacket and grab your axe and grab the hose and get on the truck and get moving, because there's a fire somewhere. One must always be prepared by always being in right relationship with God Almighty. Remember, David said, God, the God who delivered me out of the paw of the lion, the God who delivered me out of the paw of the bear, shall deliver me out of the hand of this giant. Listen, if you're in right relationship with God Almighty, you can take on any bully that comes knocking on your door. Don't sign a peace agreement. Do not sign a peace agreement with the lion because he won't keep it. Don't send ambassadors over to the bear to try to have him, make peace and make nice. The bear's not going to make peace and make nice. A bear's a bear. Don't try to make peace with a boastful Goliath. He's a bully. It's not in his nature to make peace. It's in his nature to conquer. So the one that you need to be in right relationship with is with the Lord. Therefore, do not quench the Spirit of God. Don't reject the move of God in your life. Don't say, I don't want the Holy Spirit. I don't understand it. No. Listen. The Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit of the crazy costals. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live holy lives. He empowers us with illumination to understand Scripture. He empowers us to serve one another. He empowers us to do feats of faith. All that other stuff, all those other abuses, we don't need that and we don't want that. That's not quenching the Spirit. Quenching the Spirit is saying to the Holy Spirit, I don't understand you. And since I don't understand you, I don't want you in my life. That's quenching the Spirit. And a lot of people who don't study the Bible and who see all of these abuses and see all these crazy acts going on in other so-called Christian circles turn their backs on the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. Don't do that. Jesus said, it is necessary for me to go away. For if I go away, I will send you the other comforter. You need him. He will lead you and guide you to all truth. We need the Holy Spirit. Don't quench him. Don't reject him. Don't say, I don't need you. No, you need the Spirit of God. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? By living a sinful life. When you engage in sin, you grieve him. You hurt his feelings. He's a person. So don't reject him and don't grieve him. And if you don't reject him and if you don't grieve him and if you live in right fellowship with God, then come whatever enemy will, and you have nothing to fear. Let the lion come. Let the bear come. Let the giant come one by one, or let them come all together. Let all three attack you at the same time. It makes no difference. For if you are in right relationship with Almighty God, you will defeat them all, no matter if they come one by one or if they come all together. The attacks of life are surprising to us, but not to God. God knows what's coming your way today. God knows what's coming your way next week. And God knows what's coming your way next month and even next year. But you have nothing to fear. He's the all-knowing God. And all you need to know is that he is in your corner. All you need to know is what David knew. The same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and who delivered me out of the paw of the bear shall deliver me right now, this day, this moment, against the hand of this Philistine who dares to defy the armies of the living God. I'm taking him on in God's name. So we don't need to fear anything because God has promised to do what? To save us. To deliver us is to save us. To save us from the enemies who come into our sphere of existence and who try to muscle their will upon our lives. And to that we say no. For if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, saints, that'll do it for today. I am so looking forward to unfolding this series and sharing it with you, the thoughts God has given me for you. And I want to close today's broadcast with the song, The Gate Ajar. The Gate Ajar. You know, how many backsliders do you know? How many backsliders do I know? If all the backsliders that were once in church would come to church, Grace Church would be filled. If all the people who were once there come back, Grace Church would have standing room only. So, here's a song. I hope it inspires you to pray. I hope it gives you the faith to believe that God can draw those people back who once fellowshipped with us. It's called The Gate Ajar. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful hymn. The words were put together by Lydia O. Baxter in circa 1872. And it is just a wonderful hymn. I love to hear it. It gives me the faith to believe that God will save those who need saving. He'll bring them back to himself. Don't forget tonight, 6:55, join the line for Bible study and prayer. God bless you.
There is the gate.